It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 85% always is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And if we need to explain that, it's because every now and then we'll do a Skype call with a guest.
Or and I'm something. Not here for that.
And, yeah, he's not here because then you have two people yelling through Skype.
And then it's just awkward.
Steven's kind of afraid of computers to begin with.
Yeah, so I don't like them talking to me. And little faces on the computers that can see me bothers me. I have issues.
So we used to say, as always, and then I was like, wait a minute, that's not even true. But Brittany Yantos is here.
Hey, everybody. Ooh.
And Brittany, this is kind of your second appearance on the podcast.
It is sort of my second.
Yeah, because...
this is my first formal appearance,
it's your first time in the studio, but we met Brittany at Wizard World last year at the Star Wars panel, mm-hmm. which we recorded and put out as a podcast.
The Morality of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so if you listen to that podcast, you heard Brittany there. But this is the first time we've had Brittany in the room as a guest. Sitting around, and she brought cookies.
I did.
Yeah,
cookies.
Those cookies are pretty awesome.
They're like Cookie Monster sized cookies.
Yeah,
they're
I must say too that I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that I somehow baked these cookies because I cannot bake or cook anything. I went to the bakery across the street from my house and said, "Give me."
There you go.
I don't care.
Oh.
And what bakery was that?
This was Alliance Bakery on Division.
Give them a little shout out.
Alliance Bakery.
Yes, we are enjoying those cookies thoroughly.
It's not a bakery I would go to. So as far as I'm concerned, these are just free cookies that came from someone nice.
They do also themed cakes.
Oh, yeah?
Like they did R2-D2 cake. Oh, yeah. They had TARDIS.
Oh, so they do...
They do theme cakes.
What's that?
Like Araceli's.
Araceli's in LaGrange does stuff like that where they use that like modeling stuff that's edible.
Marzipan.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's almost like a modeling clay that you
can eat. But it's edible.
Yeah. Yes.
It's incredible. This is the world we live in now.
We're living in the future.
Third world countries, take note. This is where this is the finish line. When you're making like R2-D2 cakes, it's just like you've achieved first world
we're
status.
We're literally at the time where we can make the gingerbread house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and lead... It was not Rapunzel and it was not Goldilocks. Hands on Gretel.
On Gretel. There you go.
Yeah. Another blonde one.
We can lure German children into our
with
edible
giant
houses.
Edible candy houses.
And then eat them.
Those fairy tales are really messed up.
Yeah, if you ever read the original Gram Stoker's, or no, that's the Dracula. The Grimms, they are really fucked up. Yeah. It's like, they are not
the Hans
Disney
Christian
movies.
Anderson.
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid is my favorite Disney movie. Now I know what really happens to Little Mermaid. That is messed up. Horrifying.
Most of those... fairy tales were like, the moral was don't go out into the woods by yourself.
Yeah.
Because they were written at a time when a lot of people lived in the woods by themselves.
Yes, you could literally wander into the woods and get eaten by like a werewolf.
Yeah, I can't take my kids to the playground across the street now.
Yeah.
But back then, you could let a child wander out in the woods and get eaten by a wolf in every one of those stories.
Right.
But amazingly though, somehow somebody could like cut open the belly of the wolf.
Oh,
and then like the kid would just hop out and
be
fine.
Yeah.
Be totally fine.
Because wolves are notorious for swallowing
they
their food whole.
They can unhinge their jaws.
like a fucking anaconda. Yeah.
There's really no reason for a wolf to have teeth when he's just swallowing things like it's bubblegum.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah,
we are nowhere near our topic.
But speaking of wolves, our topic today is we haven't covered Game of Thrones yet.
We've never covered it, and season 5 will have started last night if you download this podcast directly. As we're recording it starts tomorrow.
Yes. So it's in the future for us, but the past for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Brittany is wearing her Game of Thrones crown.
It's my Joffrey Baratheon, but really Lannister crown. I mean, we know.
We know.
Twincest crown that I made out of model magic, which is for elementary school kids.
Yeah, well, you know.
Put some gold paint on it.
Look at that. It looks perfect.
Good to go.
So I feel like Game of Thrones has kind of been the elephant in the room of geekdom that we haven't talked about. I think we've... pretty much everything else. I mean, we've done our Star Wars, we've done Star Trek, we've done Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You know,
we hit all the big
topics. We do Marvel and DC almost every other week.
Yep.
But we've never touched Game of Thrones. And I'm one of those people, and I'm going to make a lot of people mad right now, was I got to like the season premiere of season 2, and I was like, no, I'm done.
Yeah. And John checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't quite understand why it's so popular.
It's I don't know necessarily if I can answer why it's so popular, but I there's enough people in my life who have refused to watch Game of Thrones, and then I know enough people who have watched it and stopped watching, but then the vast majority of the people I know have started watching and then will never probably stop watching it until it ends.
Yeah, Renee is actually all caught up.
She's catching up.
She's still way, way into it. And I understand, like, the reason I stopped with it, I just thought it was... The violence was at a cruelty level.
Mm.
It was like every character you like just got tortured and mutilated until they died.
Yeah.
It was like, it went beyond Walking Dead for me. Like, Walking Dead, I'm like, yeah, you're going to get eaten eventually.
Yeah.
But you'll probably get to rip up a bunch of zombies.
I
was going to
say, you, I mean...
Getting eaten in The Walking Dead is not such a terrible...
Noah, it was pretty nasty.
Yeah, they're gross deaths, but it's not like... You can't really get mad at the zombies, because it's like, you know...
It's what they do.
It's what they do.
You can get mad at the Lannisters.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm
then you got characters like the Lannisters. It's like, these guys are like, I don't know more vile characters in any other fiction that reaches the level of evil that some of these characters in the Game of Thrones are responsible for.
Yeah, and
those
Lannisters made me so angry that I had to stop watching them.
Yeah.
It was like a person you talk to all the time, and you're like trying not to be mad at them, and they just piss you off all the time. And you're like, you know what? I'm just not going to talk to
them. It's like you ran out of like 8, 9, 10, 12 excuses for this person. You're just like,
yeah,
fuck it.
I can't do it anymore.
And I spent the whole first season going, well, these Lannisters, they're going to get their ass handed to them.
But yeah. At the same time, though, Game of Thrones, and this is why they mess with your head, Game of Thrones, okay, so you have the Lannisters, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, they're evil and they're horrible and they suck. Except there's like Tyrion, you know?
Yeah.
Does he fit into that group?
Even
and
like
Jaime, he's got some redeeming qualities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is something that, and I think this is what I like about this show is these, the characters in the Game of Thrones, it's like, you know, a lot of times, you know, they'll do a character like in the comic books. I'm not really caught up on the Walking Dead TV show, and we've talked about that, but the comics I read, and they're like, here's the governor, and he's a bad guy, and he's just totally evil, totally a bad guy. You can't really get on his side. Then you watch Game of Thrones, and it's like, oh, Jaime Lannister, this guy, like, sleeps with his twin sister, which is pretty disgusting, but he's actually a likable dude. And he's actually, like, a guy where I can, in the later seasons, be like, I'm kind of rooting for this guy.
Like when he threw down for Brienne of Tarth,
yeah,
in the bear pit,
yeah,
I was so rooting for Jaime Lannister.
Right.
And
so
it was
like,
confusing.
Yes.
I was like, why do I have these feelings right
yes,
now?
Yes. It's and very
Jaime,
confusing.
Well, then my question is, did then they immediately kill Jaime Lannister?
No.
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 Still
but
he's,
then, and that's the
he's
other
fine.
Thing. Now, here's
well,
the, dude,
I wouldn't say fine because he doesn't have a hand.
They took one
they
of his hands away.
He's fine in Game of Thrones.
No. Well, he's a lot finer than 90% of the population of the Game of Thrones world, because this dude is like the top of the heap. You know, the mm-hmm. Lannisters are like, I don't know, the cream of the crop. They're the 1%.
Yeah. They're 1%ers.
I know.
Yeah, there you go. They're the 1%ers.
Tyrion Lannister, I know, is the Daryl of Game of Thrones because he's Peter Dinklage. And everybody's like, well, everybody loves this guy.
Yeah, he's another guy I really like, just because he's, you know, gets kind of shit on his whole life and all this stuff. And he's born in this horrific family that he's very aware of. And he's such a likable guy. Yeah, he was on, like, The Daily Show, like, a week ago, and I'm watching, like, I'd watch this guy read out of the phone book. Like, what else do you want to do,
yeah.
Peter?
He did that great episode of 30 Rock, you remember that?
Yeah, I think he was in a couple episodes of 30 Rock. He was good in X-Men. He was in that.
He was good
yeah,
in
he
Elf.
He was really good in X-Men. He was great in Elf.
Yeah, right?
Elf was the first thing I ever saw him in.
And beat the crap out of Will Ferrell.
Actually, yeah, anyone who beats the crap out of Will Ferrell is cool in my book.
And X-Men impressed me more because there was nothing in that role that
made
a small person. Like, the character he was based on in the comic is not a small person.
He's just regular dude.
It's yeah. just like, you know what, Peter Dinklage? You're awesome, so you're awesome.
And I think that was cool, because that's another layer of, you know, here's a guy who, you know, the odds of being born a mutant are pretty low. The odds of being born a little person or whatever, those are also very low.
What are the odds of being born a Lannister?
Sure, same thing. But I guess I was saying for the X-Men movie is that it was like another spin on that character where it's like Bolivar Trask in the comics is just kind of a scumbag. Well, here's a guy who's actually like really doesn't want mutants to exist and then is kind of a mutant himself, right? Because he's not like mutant,
he's
just
not normal.
It's in the sense
yeah.
where it just means like, you know, you don't fit into the, you know, the normal quote unquote. And I think that was just like another layer this dude added to that character where it's just like, dude, that's like that you just took a character that was like a flat one-dimensional character and added six more dimensions to him.
And a mustache.
Yeah, anyone in a mustache is okay by me.
Wasn't the 70s, so it was like a sweet 70s.
Yes,
right?
It was like that.
It wasn't like a little normal
no.
It was like, it was an Anchorman.
Yeah, it was
yes.
like hardcore.
It was like Anchorman. But yeah, so I think Game of Thrones does that where the character's a lot more complicated than your average run-of-the-mill, you know, TV show characters. So it's constantly in this show. I'm like, oh, don't get too attached to this character because they're gonna fucking die.
I made that mistake
totally.
Oberyn
right,
Oberyn Martell. Why?
Constantly.
Why?
And it's heart-wrenching. And like, I was behind. So like, Game of Thrones was probably into its third season before I started watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard when it premiered, the Red Wedding. Everyone's going on about this Red Wedding. And I didn't hear any spoilers, but everyone's like, it's some horrific shit.
Yeah, I still
shit.
Hear that. Just people say Red Wedding like it's...
Yeah, like it's like an umbrella term for a horrible fucking thing.
Game of Thrones.
Yes. And I remember thinking, okay, I know something terrible is going to happen. And then when I got to the episode, like a year after it had premiered or whatever, I was like, no, I'm prepared. Like, I'll just assume everyone I like is going to die. And I'll be okay. And then it happened. The episode happened. Like, was like, I was watching it. And it was like, I looked at my clock. It was like 10 minutes to go. I'm like, what could happen in 10 minutes? And then they fucking eviscerated my heart. And it was just like, it was worse than the buildup. And it was worse than anyone. If I had been previously warned and somebody had told me specifically what had happened, it still would have been worse than
that. Oh, yeah.
Horrible. So it's, I can't really say why I'm still watching the show when everyone I like is getting fucking...
But there's some hope, though. There's some hope, too, in Game of Thrones, and that's what keeps you... Just like in The Walking Dead, people die in horrible ways.
Yeah.
You know something's gonna happen to someone, but there are still these like... They dangle little carrots of hope right in
front really
of you.
They really do.
They're like, Arya Stark's... She's going to Braavos, and she's gonna make it, and she's gonna be okay. Like, that's a little nugget carrot of Game of Thrones... Hope.
And I think it's something with Game of Thrones at this point, so many cool, awesome characters I liked have just been destroyed that I'm at the point where it's just like, if the dragon lady wants to just come over and just scorched earth this whole fucking planet, that's kind of what I'm rooting for. It's like, they kind of leave
this.
She's going
to break the wheel, remember? She said so in the trailer for season 5. All the spokes, all the families going around.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for. It's just like, that's my ultimate hope is that I haven't read the book, so I don't know where it's going, but it's like, if this, I can't remember anyone's name in the show, but the dragon lady, if she just shows up with
Danny,
there
she
you
goes,
go.
Casually, she's Danny.
To her friends. If she shows up with her army of soldiers and she comes in with the dragons and just kills everybody and just spares nobody and just starts over, I'll be like, okay, there you go. Thank you.
Okay, so
kill them all.
You remember, was it Bran Stark who had the vision of the Iron Throne that was covered in either snow or ash?
Yeah.
It was like, everything was fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
But there was something falling from the sky and you couldn't exactly tell if it was ash
or snow.
I don't know where I was going with that, but I understand what you're saying. Danny's story is kind of frustrating me right now because she's been hanging out in Meereen for so long.
Yeah, it's like, you got moves to make, lady.
And it's not like she doesn't have the means to get over there.
Yeah.
She has the armies. She's got the Unsullied. She's got those three dragons, which are obviously raring to go.
Yeah.
They're setting goats and...
Yeah, I don't remember, John, do you remember the last... Did you even see dragons by the start of season 2, or did they still hint at them?
No, they teased them at the very, very end of season 1. You saw one.
Yeah, so by the fifth... What season are we in? We're starting season 5. Okay, so by the fourth season, these dragons are like... smog size, and they're like snatching goats out of like the countryside.
And 3-year-olds.
Yeah, they're eating like kids and shit. These things are
again, this should make me mad. I think it was,
huge.
Yeah,
they're even bigger now in season 5. Did you see an image? Is it Drogon? The one is like 40% larger than the other two, and he's just fucking scary.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of the teasers and such for this episode, but I guess Game of Thrones was interesting too because it's the only. I don't know anything else. Maybe there's a lot of things that I'm ignorant of, but Game of Thrones is like the dude cannot keep up with the shows. They're filming these shows faster than this dude can write these books.
Yeah,
and that's insane. Maybe you know what. At what point did they start filming the shows? Like, how far was he in the series of the books?
Okay, I believe...
He's been writing these books since the 80s, right? But he takes a long time between them.
No
way. I think the
books
came out in the I want to say like 96 or 97 is when the first Game of Thrones book came out.
Okay.
And they've been coming out every few years. Yeah, so there was actually kind of a huge story backlog, I think, when the producers of the show...
It's not like Harry Potter where Rowling was really cranking them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, these are like 900-page books.
Yeah, these are a lot more dense, I think. And I've talked to enough people, I think, who have read the books. And it's just like, it sounds kind of like the books read like VCR manuals.
Yeah.
Like, is that true? Would you say, have you read the books, Brittany?
I have... I have not. Yeah. My homegirl, Gwen, who was here to drop them off, she actually has Clash of Kings with her right now. And if you asked her, and other people that I've talked to who read the books too, said that it can get, I think similar to Tolkien, where it gets into like the real nitty gritty of this. Because it seems to me like his imagination and the story is so just dense that he need that George R. R. Martin probably feels like, and rightfully so, that he needs to get out everything that he's possibly thought of, which is creative and brilliant, into these books. So that's going to be probably an overwhelming amount of information.
Some of it even maybe unnecessary.
Right. And but is that part of the frustration? Because as you guys are talking about the way these seasons have been laid out, it reminds me of when we were talking about the X-Files.
Yeah.
Good Girl Chicago a couple weeks ago, about how that was all about something about to happen.
Right.
It was all, you know, the X-Files is all about an alien invasion that was going to happen, but the show was not about an alien invasion. And it seems to me that Game of Thrones is always about this world that's going to blow up into a Middle-Earth-sized
conflict
of monsters, of zombies.
Winter is coming. Zombies
in the winter and these big dragons, but they never seem to get there. And is that because these books haven't been written yet?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of it. I think, you know, he has an idea. He has to know where the series is going, right? So whenever he started, he was like, all right, I'll start here and it'll end there. And then, you know, how long in between, who can say? But I think it's definitely something where, you know, from the first episode, they talk about winter is coming and there's this looming conflict. You always, and it does a great job of making you feel like there is this big thing that's coming to happen that's kind of unclear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you ever see anything like underwater and all you can really see is this like vague shape of this huge thing moving. Mm-hmm. And it's like you don't really know what's coming, but something huge is gonna fucking happen.
Yeah, but do you think that huge thing is really gonna happen? Do you think like the last book is all
I think it's gonna happen.
I think it'll be a lot like the Lord of the Rings, or not the Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit movie. I didn't see the third one, and we were talking a couple weeks ago about how they stretch that first book out so much, but then by the time you get to that third movie, the entire thing is just this huge Battle of the Five Armies thing, right? It's like the whole movie.
I have that if you want to buy it, which is not what that book is.
Right, that's not what the book is, but that's what they do to make the movie, right? Because they need this big action piece, and I really think, I don't know how many seasons they're going to end up doing of Game of Thrones, because I don't know. Well, I have no idea how many books. Done, so. Right. And I guess they said the seasons are actually going to pass the books. They'll be making the show.
That they'll be spoiling book readers.
Right. So a lot of people are upset.
Will it go Walking Dead, where it's just like, we're going this way, and the books are going to do what they want?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whereas Walking Dead, every season or so, it's like, here's the scenario that was in the books. Here's some of the characters that were in the books.
Yeah.
But then we're going to do whatever we want, which has worked for Walking Dead, because I've read all of Walking Dead, and when I watch the show, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that's something, too, where, and you know, it's probably person by person, too, because I know people who are reading the books who like what the show is doing. I know people who have read the books that are not super awesome, thrilled about what's happening in the show because it's different, or they cut things out or change things or put emphasis on things that weren't as important in the books or what have you. But I do think it's something where whatever the last season is, I think it is going to be this like huge, huge, like it's like Breaking Bad's a good example, right? Okay. Breaking Bad every single week built and built and built and built and
that
built.
That was a crazy that show. Yeah, was like the most
I couldn't take
show.
It. And I think that's similar. This is like the fantasy version of that, where everything just keeps getting ramped up, and you're just like, well, it can't get any crazier than that. And then the next week blows your fucking mind.
And I've heard. And I've read online, so it must be true.
Must be.
If it's on the internet.
It was in a comment on a message board.
Yeah.
I was in a forum. I was in a fan forum. Anyway, that I heard that the producers of Game of Thrones, that a major character was going to be killed off in the Game of Thrones show that is still in the book.
Alive and well in the books.
And that's exactly what's happened in Walking Dead. I mean, you know, Carol didn't last.
Right.
In the prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, she's one of the most popular characters on that show.
Right. And that's something I think where, you know, and maybe they will get to that point in Game of Thrones where, you know, if they're like, oh, this person's, I mean, that was a shock, right? Because I hadn't read the books, and you watch the trailer or you see any of the posters or anything for Game of Thrones, and all that first season imagery was that dude who dies all the time. The actor.
Sean Bean.
Yeah. Sean Bean's like sitting on the throne. He's like the first dude you see in the show. He's like the king of the north. And everyone's like, this guy. And they fucking cut the guy's head off.
Right off.
And it's like,
I did see that.
It was like a slap in the face. That was rough. Because I thought the whole show was this dude's show. I thought it was his show.
Yeah.
And he fucking died.
Well, that's how they built it up.
That's how they get you.
That reminds me.
That's how they get us, right?
That's originally how Lost was going to be. You know, the part of Jack.
Okay.
Was originally going to be played by Michael Keaton. And they were going to kill him at the end of the pilot because they couldn't afford him for the series.
See, that
would have
been insane.
They were going to kill Jesse, too, at the end of the first or second season of Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Oh,
they were going to kill Jesse.
And then he got really popular.
Then everyone loved Jesse. And yeah. Like,
I thought you were going to say they were going to kill Jesse in the first episode of Full House. And I was like, that would have been... Crazy show! My childhood!
First the mom! No. Yeah! Then Jesse!
Right?
Then one of the twins!
What kind of fucking world is that?
That's messed up.
That is messed up. That's why I was like on the edge
of my
seat.
Uncle Joey left. Uncle Joey is left to raise the children.
Yeah,
that's look. The show.
Uncle Joey's just doing bits in a mirror for 7 years.
Yeah.
And bombing at open mics with them. Well, that's what was going to happen with Justified. I don't know if anyone here watches Justified, which is going to end this week, and
my
parents
are watching this show.
They were going to kill Boyd Crowder at the end of the pilot. Walton Goggins, who is the main villain in the main showdown of this final episode of 6 seasons.
Is he the guy, the Swiss guy?
No, he's the guy.
Am I thinking of a different show?
The crazy eyes, who was also on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I don't know. The Swiss. I need to start watching this. I might be thinking of an entirely different show. The Swede.
Like, are we?
The Swede.
Is that a different show? It's like a show about a railroad. Maybe
it's not about a railroad.
No,
it's not about.
Then I have the totally wrong show.
No, Justified.
Is that Railroad Empire? No, I'm just kidding.
No,
Justified is the show with Timothy Oliphant.
I don't know, playing
like a cowboy cop. He's the main guy in Deadwood. Did you see Deadwood?
No, cultural vacuum, John.
Oh, you need to see Deadwood.
Just me and my comic books.
There was no Deadwood comic book, so that's the end of that. But yeah, that happens all the time. Is that as the show goes on, it's like, oh, this character's popular, so we can't
do
that.
We have to keep them.
And also, when you kill off a character on a TV show, you fire that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's much different than a book.
And I've read interviews with the George R. R. Martin guy, and he's like, oh, I've met all these actors and everything, and they have no idea I'm writing the scene where they die. I'm essentially firing them from their job.
Yeah.
Right. And Kirkman talks about that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like the same kind of thing. It's got to be really weird.
You know what I was just thinking of that's weird? Okay, so think about shows from like 10, 15, 20 years ago. None of this...
All I'm thinking of is Give Me a Break.
There were rules in shows like this. It seemed like there were unwritten rules of these kind of... Well, first of all, there weren't really fantasies like Game of Thrones around, obviously.
Yeah.
Because all I can think of is Xena and Hercules, which in no way has anything to do.
Xena, warrior princess.
But there were rules, and that was you don't kill off the main character of your TV show. If you're fighting 20 guys and you're the main character of
you're fine.
Then everybody knows, dude, he is fine because they can't do this show without him.
Exactly.
There was a rumor floated around during Star Trek: Next Generation, the episode where they turned Picard into a Borg.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a cliffhanger that was like the season finale and the season premiere. And there was a rumor floating around that summer that Patrick Stewart wanted out and they couldn't decide on his contract.
So this is their way.
But even then, nobody really believed that that was going to be it.
Yeah,
and now it's like, now you don't know.
No one is safe in TV now.
Yeah, I think
no one.
Game of Thrones, and I don't know if Game of Thrones is responsible for it, but it's definitely a show
that... I feel like they might be.
They're definitely not helping the safety of our TV characters. Like even, you know... you know, it's the same thing. We always joke, you know, they killed Batman. They killed Captain America. It's like, the book is called Captain America. Sure, they're going to kill him. He's coming back. Not so in TV. And I think that's the problem with Game of Thrones is I am attached to the X-Men and the Avengers and all these characters. And I know, they'll be fine if they kill him. He'll be back in 5 to 10 years. Who can say? But in Game of Thrones or something, it's just like, oh, I like this character, but I don't want to like him too much because they're going to fucking kill him and it's going to rip my heart out.
Well, even on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've killed off characters.
Yeah.
Because they've killed off more minor characters. They're not killing superheroes, but there have been people in the last 2 seasons that are dead.
Yeah. And I think it's something where, you know, they are making this shift to where, you know, they know they can take these kinds of risks with characters. Main characters, and people will still watch the show. Where before, I think they were like, oh, don't fuck with the property. Just formulaic, make every episode just like the episode before, you know, just make it an assembly line where everything kind of looks the same.
Yeah, I think TV shows now make people there's so much more discomfort when you're watching it and anxiety and emotional attachment because those rules have been completely thrown out the window.
Yeah, right. And I think that's part of the appeal of a show like Game of Thrones, where obviously it's like terrible things are happening to people. It is not a pleasant world to live in.
Not at all.
Not even a little bit. And it's like the
even
more...
Even if you're the god of tits and wine.
Yeah, even that, you're just... you're everyone, it's like everyone is constantly... wandering around trying not to get people to stab him in the back constantly. Mm-hmm. Even like the most powerful people in this world, Cersei, right? The
Cersei, Lannister. Yeah, Blondie.
Blondie.
Share.
In the last season, I saw one of the last episodes. Their city is under siege. She's in a room with like a bunch of maidens and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna get killed." And then Cersei's like, "Well, we're not gonna get killed. We're gonna be turned into like rape cattle."
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like, so
that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
And then she almost poisons Tommen.
She was gonna poison like her own kids and stuff to spare them. And it's like, this woman is the most powerful woman in the world, and she's preparing to be attacked viciously and was poisoning her, get ready to poison her own kid.
But at the same time, there's some historical authenticity there.
Right.
If you think about the end of World War II, and you think about the bunker, and you think about Joseph Goebbels and his wife, Magda, I believe, and their six children who are living in the bunker with Hitler.
Yeah.
She poisoned all of her children.
Yeah.
Because she knew that the Soviets were coming into the city, and she didn't want... Well,
you spare them.
Well, she didn't want them to live in a world without Nazis or whatever, which is crazy. But that'd it's be not horrible. Because that would be horrible.
No, what kind of world is that?
There's no Red Skull. There's no half of the Indiana Jones movies.
So she poisons all six of her children. So as messed up as that is,
right?
At the same time, it's happened in real life before. Like in real life, main characters.
Yeah, people
die. Yeah. People kill their children.
Right? Horrible, fucked up stuff happens
horrible
constantly.
Horrible things happen. And I think it's bringing that, as much as it's a fantasy show, bringing that type of realism and putting it in people's faces.
What's interesting, it reminds me of the last couple weeks I finally started watching The Wire. And that's, you know, obviously much more grounded in reality, but that theme goes through where they will kill off characters that have been around for two seasons. And they all live in a world where basically they're powerless, like the cops, there's only so much they can do because of the bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the drug dealers, like, eventually somebody's gonna kill them or they're gonna go to prison.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's shows like that or The Sopranos, which, you know, and those are two HBO shows, and this is HBO's biggest show now.
Biggest show ever, I think.
Yeah,
is
I was
it
gonna
bigger
say
than
it.
Sopranos was
I think
Sopranos
it is.
Was their biggest show,
I think. By the time people are listening to this podcast, there'll be some insane numbers coming out about
how many people watched
the show last, quote unquote, last night.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing too. It's part of the, you know, you don't really get a show too much that does really well where it's just like, here's this one dude and he has this one story and he's doing this one thing. Game of Thrones, it's like, there's like 40 main characters. Everyone's doing something different. All their stories overlap to a certain degree. It's just like there's all this back history. There's all this stuff coming up. It's like the storytelling is so dense. It's like world building.
Yeah. Again, it's like The Wire, which they were doing 10 years ago on HBO.
Yeah, it's like a whole believable world where it's just like you could ask any question to George R.R. Martin about the history of these characters or who or what or whatever, and he would have an answer for you. He'd be able to tell you, oh, well, this relative of this person, blah, blah, blah.
And that's why the books are all nice.
Yeah, because they're so
dense.
Wouldn't
it be great if he didn't? Wouldn't it be great if he was just making it up? Like Stan Lee. Every time you have an interview with Stan Lee, they're like, so why was the rhino Russian? I don't know. He's a rhino.
Right. So, okay.
He'll run at you. Like, wouldn't it be great if George R. R. Martin was just like, I don't like women, so that's why she got killed.
Right.
George R. R. Martin, though, I think George R. R. Martin loves women.
Yeah, I think it's something like my roommates, they don't want to watch Game of Thrones, and Lisa and Tina, actually, my sister and her girlfriend, don't want to watch Game of Thrones either, because they, quote-unquote, and this isn't exactly what they've both said, but similar reason, it's too rapey.
Yeah.
And it is.
Okay, there are elements of that.
And it is definitely...
I understand why people would feel that way.
And it's not a world, if you were a woman, that you'd want to live in.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. But there are...
Now, as you said, is this a world anyone wants to live in?
No, I wouldn't want to.
Dragons seem kind of awesome, but
not at the price that it comes with.
No.
And but you know, in Middle Earth, you got dragons, and you got a little hobbit village.
Right, I'd go live with the hobbits and just hang out.
The elves seem... pretty cool.
Yeah, the elves got pretty cool.
The elves seem pretty cool, but they get involved in politics, and then every now and then they all go out to war. Hobbit, nobody knows what's going on.
They don't die, though. The elves, that's true. I mean, they're immortal.
Yeah. Until they get killed in a war.
Well, besides, I just live in the tree, or I'd just be an Ewok. Anyway, so I understand. So going back real quickly, I understand why people would feel like Game of Thrones is rapey. Probably because of all of the rape that happens.
Probably the massive amounts of rape in this show. And I will say, it's not like they're glorifying anything like this. And there was an episode, and I can't remember exactly because I have a horrific memory and everything.
Was it the twincest?
No, it wasn't anything like this, but they did a particular episode where it was like every woman in the episode, like they have all these main characters, right, that they're jumping all over.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like they did one episode where it was like every single woman in every single storyline took fucking charge and just completely redefined what it means to be a badass in this world. Mm-hmm. Every single character, like Jon Snow's mom,
Jon Snow's mom, question mark.
Oh, I mean, the
Rob Stark's mom. You're talking about Catelyn Stark?
Yes, the Catelyn. Stark. Yeah, she did some crazy badass shit. The little kid did some badass shit. The Blondie did some badass shit. It was like the Dragon Lady. It's like every single girl just like knocked it out of the park and was like, nope, I'm taking charge, and just laid waste
to
everyone that got in their way.
That Game of Thrones treats female characters in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
Because no woman would probably, and I guess I speak for all women right now.
Yeah, speak for all women.
Yeah.
You're all the women in this room.
Yes.
You're all the women on today's podcast.
Speaking for all the women currently in this room right now. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to live in Game of Thrones. And it's obvious, too, and I think that they allude to this a lot in conversations between, like, Cersei and Margaery Tyrell. Where they're women of quote unquote power, and yet they feel powerless, and like they're owned by the men around them at the same time. So I think it's really interesting that these female characters, like Arya, like Sansa now.
Yeah,
Sansa got into the Game of Thrones, you guys.
Right,
just a little hair color and a black dress. That's all you need, I guess. No, but they're all taking power in such unique ways. Because they're all doing it in different ways, I think it makes the story a lot more interesting.
Yeah, that's good, because I hadn't followed it that far, as I said. So at least the women, there's a turnaround. But one of the things that really bothered me, now that I've thought about it, there's the rape against women, which is bad, but there was a lot of violence against children in Game of Thrones. And that...
Theon Greyjoy, you mean?
That really upset. Well, you know, they end the pilot by pushing a child out a window.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the first episode ends. And just every child is just seen as something to be basically feasted on. They're like resources to be
destroyed.
Yeah, they're exploited. They have to be hidden. They have to have their genders changed. They have, you know, they get these horrible afflictions and they just go on living. And that's something that really bothered me, because you know the children... Unless you follow this show for 20 years and they become adults.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the violence against the powerless
that
really bothers me. And I think that's what bothered me about, like, Ned Stark. About, like, the Starks were just kind of put upon. And I was waiting for that season finale for them to come back. I was like, okay, they don't have to win at the end of this episode.
Yeah. But at the end of the season, they'll come back, because you're thinking of, like, the typical...
The rules of TV that the Starks will prevail.
Yep.
And that everything is going to be cool with them. Yeah. And because they're the main focus of the show, they're untouchable.
And that's something, too, going back, like you said, to the Starks, where it's just like, you know, it didn't happen in the first season. And then I started watching the second season. I'm like, all right, this is the season. I fell for it every single season. I thought, this is the season where the Starks take it back. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
But you know what, though? At the same time, as season 5 is about to start, or when people are listening to this, has just started, I still... have hope for the Starks.
Yeah, and it's
still have hope for the Starks. And you know what? I think that it's doable for the Starks to come back. Maybe not in the way that we thought that they would, or that would be most likely.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, well, we're not going to see Bran and Hodor in season 5 at all.
Really?
Yeah, not at all.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So their part of the story is going to be kind of, it's the other parts of the story are going to need to catch up in season 5 to where Hodor and Bran are in the books, because they've caught up all the way. That's my understanding, at least.
Okay.
So, but, I mean, Sansa, we got a new Sansa who I don't know what she's capable of now, but she's obviously had some type of huge change. She's still alive, and she still has the power base that is creepy Peter Baelish slash yes, Littlefinger.
Who is doing a great job of so just creepy. Making my skin crawl every time he's on screen.
Oh, he creeps me out. And yet he is in Sansa's corner.
Yeah.
And he's capable of a lot, as we all know. And so there's huge hope for her to make some big things happen for Sansa. Arya is probably, hopefully, more safe now that she's going over to Braavos.
Yeah, but that's one where it's just like, don't get attached to the little kid who's a badass.
But then, wait a second, though. But we know she's independent. She can fend for herself. She's
a child and a woman. And I'm not saying that is a degrading thing. I'm saying is the history is not on her side.
The history of Game of Thrones is not on her side.
Story of perseverance. Think about Daenerys Targaryen, right? She was basically sold by her brother to the Dothraki.
Yeah.
She assumed, probably and rightly so, that she was also going to be, quote unquote, rape cattle.
Yep.
She took control of the Dothraki.
And now she has a fucking army.
And
dragons.
She's a queen. She has dragons. She has her problems, obviously, just like any other character. Sure. But she, from where she came from, it's an insane story.
And I think that's another good thing is you get to see...
There's hope there.
5 years of these characters where this chick went from like pretty much like we were saying, she's going to be like a slave.
Right.
And now she's probably in the top three most powerful people in this world.
Not women. People.
People, yeah.
And you know, that's a thing, going back to the broader landscape, that's the thing we never saw before. We never saw characters change that way.
Yeah.
You know, Breaking Bad is the most extreme example, where you have the hero becomes the villain over those five
seasons. Yeah, and I think that's kind of, this is the only other show, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of shows, so this is not by any means an expert opinion, you know, and I don't read at all. But I think it's something where, you know, like Breaking Bad was a great example. If you watch that first episode, Walter White's a super likable dude. Yeah. You watch that last episode,
he's
kind of
scary as hell.
He's a scumbag. And same thing with this show. But you do in Game of Thrones. It's like you get to see the characters that survive take on these whole new, it's like, how did you change my opinion about Jaime Lannister? This is the dude that pushed the kid out the window.
Or even Tyrion Lannister.
Right.
Because our opinion of Tyrion Lannister is completely different now than it was at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, and it's just like they take characters like that and just totally twist to change your opinion on these characters so drastically, I think that's really, like, really well done.
I think it only increases your emotional attachment to the character. Yeah. If it's just, let's imagine for a moment that Ned Stark didn't get his head chopped off.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Right.
At the end of season one, if you're not caught up.
Yeah. The description of this podcast will say spoilers before it says your name, Brittany.
Yes.
It's fine. Brittany Spoilers Yontos.
Spoilers. Brittany Yontos is here.
So he gets his head lobbed off. Let's say that didn't happen. And he survived and he's around the entire five seasons. And he was still kind of the quote, like the honorable man, this likable father figure. He has this extreme kind of moral fiber, and none of that changed necessarily.
Yeah.
I wonder how intense our feelings would be and our attachment would be to like a Ned Stark versus Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah.
Who wasn't a very likable character, but has gone through so many changes. And
it's like you're always kind of pulling for the guy now.
Because there's so much complication there, and you've kind of been through those ups and downs. It just makes me like him more, which again makes it all the more horrible when something happens to them.
Yeah. And
I think that death of Ned Stark is such a powerful moment because number one, just not only dramatically like, oh, they can kill anybody, but that whole first season, he was the most solid character.
Mm-hmm.
He was protecting his whole family.
Yep.
He had a good relationship with the First King. Was the guy in that Jamie Gertz sitcom. That's
what I don't know. You mean talking about Bobby. Robert Baratheon.
Yeah, and he was holding it all together. So when he does get killed, pretty much all hell breaks loose in Westeros.
The power vacuum begins.
And and it's kind of everyone spirals out of control because you've taken the center out of that world.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're still spinning and there's still no sense.
It has not gotten better. Mm-mm. And that's something too, where it's cool to see how they can make the death of one dude affect everyone across this kingdom. And kind of show you how quickly things like that change. And like you said, that was the first, I mean, what episode? Did they kill him in the season finale?
I think it was the one before.
Kind of like the Red Wedding was the second to last episode. Yeah.
Okay, so it was like the first really horrific thing that happened.
And then that last one was the fallout.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think that's something where it kind of sets the tone for the entire series, where you build up this character, constantly they show you how likable the dude this guy is, constantly show you how he's this great moral man, constantly show you he's this, like, totally altruistic guy, just trying to take care of his family.
He's the only one.
Yeah, the only dude you can really say, this guy.
That's a good guy.
And then fucking meets this horrific end, and then it's just like, all right, that's what the rest of the show is going to be like.
It's funny, it reminds me of, Steven, I know you're not cut off, but Brittany, have you seen Better Call Saul?
No, I've seen the first part where he's like at Cinnabon, and then I was like, man, I really want a Cinnabon right now. So I watched like the first episode after The Walking Dead, but then I, you know, I've been at the bar and stuff.
It's really great, but I,
because that's my job, not because I'm a raging alcoholic.
Clarification.
Yeah, just because that is my job.
And then I went to the bar and I just lost track of time. And
then I got the bar for literally months.
Yeah, I got another Cinnabon. It's been a lot of bourbon and Cinnabon for the last 2 months.
My life is bourbon and Cinnabon.
It spiraled out of control.
But
like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, not to be spoilers, but there something happens in the second to last episode of Better Call Saul, which is like that. And Better Call Saul is a lot softer than Breaking Bad. There's not a lot of violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as I know, there's been no deaths. It's more of a moral gray area. It's more of like, will he be a good lawyer or a bad lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a character turn that happens in the second to last episode at the very end, just mm-hmm. like that's Ned Stark.
Yeah.
And then that final episode is kind of the fallout of that. And I'm wondering if Game of Thrones is the first thing to do that, not to have the big moment in the season finale. So as an audience, you're wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But to save that last episode for all the other characters to deal with what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing because, you know, you see that a lot in like movies. I mean, I guess like Lord of the Rings kind of comes to mind in like Harry Potter movies where it's like, you know, this huge epic thing happens. And then the rest of the movie is just kind of like this really quick, like rushing out the door, you know, condensed 15 minutes of like, here's everyone dealing with that crazy shit that just happened. And now to get that crazy, crazy thing, like an episode or two episodes before the ending, and then show, look how it makes that event more impactful, I think, mm-hmm. to have more time to show people really dealing with these things than just rushing through it because we've got to end the movie.
When, you know? When after the Red Wedding, the very last episode, when they, it's, the, and this is my memory, when they open up this episode with people wiping up the floor of the hall with that's basically just covered in the Stark's blood was also so emotionally wrenching.
Terrific.
And yeah, and I, to be honest, that's something that I never would have considered being in the episode.
Yeah, because it doesn't advance the story, but the idea that somebody has to clean this mess up, it's just like it drives the point home, I think, that on a much different level people don't always consider. And
which
I think
so brilliant.
Yeah,
it was really a brilliant choice on their end. I really would have thought that something like the Red Wedding, that horrific last 5 minutes would have been the end of the season.
That's exactly what I would have expected.
It's kind of like the quote unquote unwritten rules of producing a TV show is that you save the craziest shit for the last 5 minutes of the season, and then you just let everybody freak out and talk about it for an entire year.
Yeah, and because of that, you don't know what's going to happen ever.
Right. You know, you have to be on your guard every episode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You used to see that in Sopranos. They used to kill off major characters one or two episodes before the finale. You know, Walking Dead, there's not a single episode of The Walking Dead where you think all the characters are going to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they don't, and sometimes nobody dies. But it's that tense.
You're always tense.
You're always tense, or you're always on the edge of your seat. And I think it's a tension. I'm someone who lives with a lot of tension.
Yes, you're a very anxious person.
For some reason there, I keep going back to the comparison. With The Walking Dead, there's enough of a removal for me to go, yeah, zombies, but I don't know what it is about Game of Thrones where it's set in a world that's even more removed from our world.
Yeah.
There's an emotional quotient to it. Maybe it is the fact that it's sentient characters, as we said at the beginning of the show, doing horrible things to you, whereas in Walking Dead, even when the humans are villains, they're usually just outright scumbags.
Yeah, they don't make them, they're not really, they're straight up villain. The Walking or the Game of Thrones, there's a lot of characters you can be like, that dude's a bad guy, but there's a lot of gray areas.
Yeah.
And they do change it to where it's like, ah, no, I kind of root for this Jamie guy. He's showing some good, or he's backed up a couple good characters where you're like, nope, this dude does have some morals. That makes you kind of not forgive his crimes or forgive his scumbaggishness, but it's like, you kind of start to sympathize with these characters. And mm-hmm. I think that's the twist of it. It's just like, it's not just black and white, good guys and bad guys. And I think we're kind of seeing, and you know, like you said, if they did it in Sopranos, it's like, this is like maybe like HBO's like formulas, just, hey, break every rule of TV. You know, and they and then you got to wonder, going back to the point we made about the George R. R. Martin guy being behind the shows, is how much of these shows are affecting how this guy's going to write the books. Do you know what I mean? Right. It's like, it can't not affect him.
I remember a lot of talk about that when they started the Harry Potter movies, because mm-hmm. those books weren't finished.
Yeah.
Rowling was about halfway through when the movies started happening.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and there were times, I read an interview with her recently where she said, you know, I probably should have gotten Harry and Hermione together. And, but she stuck with the way she had written the books. But I think that was influenced by the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way Emma Watson and
Daniel Radcliffe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Daniel Radcliffe, their chemistry was so much stronger than her chemistry with Ron Weasley.
Yeah.
That it seemed like a letdown that
yeah, and people get together. Upset about stuff like
and
that.
And that's an example of some of the author going, no, they're going to do what they want with the movies.
Yeah.
And that's a straight adaptation, which Game of Thrones is. It's not Walking Dead, where it's like, we're going this way through it.
Yeah.
Or like the Marvel movies, where it's like,
they just kind of make it up.
The elements.
They're pulling from 60 years of continuity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but I think it is something that's tricky, where I don't know that this guy can continue to write these books and not be influenced by the show. And you know,
especially because you know that he has such a close relationship of the executive producers.
He's met the producers, he's met the actors, he's been on set, he's probably watched the show. I don't think you can do all that stuff and then go back to your typewriter and be like, yeah, I'm going to be completely objective like I was 15 years ago or 20 years ago when I wrote this mm-hmm. original book.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. And a lot of writers have that problem, was now when you sit down and write the book, is there a voice in your head that goes, yeah, they can't film that.
Yeah.
Because that's one of my questions is, I think it's a good last question to ask you guys, is what do you think the last episode of Game of Thrones will be? Because from what you're telling me, the buildup is so big that I don't think you could have the budget for television. Like, do they have to just make a feature film? I feel like
if any show has a budget, Game of Thrones has a budget to do it.
But
there's also rumors about a movie. There's also rumors about ending it with a movie.
Oh, wow. See, I hadn't heard that.
And there you put hundreds of million dollars in, so then you can have armies of dragons.
Yeah, at this point, they've done enough crazy stuff on the show. I don't think there's anything that's outside the budget of the show to accomplish with effects or whatever like this.
Mm-hmm.
But a good example is with Walking Dead. In Walking Dead in the comics, Rick lost his hand like years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's a lot of horrific things that happened at that prison with like Michonne and the governor that didn't make it in the cut.
Oh, yeah.
So I think
there was a whole subplot with there were prisoners living in the prison originally.
Right.
And some of those guys were really deranged.
Right. And it completely gets cut out. And I think a lot of, and who's doing that? Showtime does Walking Dead?
AMC.
AMC's. And so I don't know if it's a difference between HBO and AMC, because I would say there's a lot of things in the Walking Dead graphic novel is much more graphic than the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's like R-rated, X-rated stuff in that graphic novel.
Yeah, but it's in black and white.
Right. And I'm not saying as far as you reading it, but I think there's like, I mean, they nailed the dude's prick to a board in that graphic novel. So it's really messed up stuff. And then I would say the show's never going to do that. Then you watch Game of Thrones, and they, like, cut a dude's dick off and, like, totally fucked this one guy up and, like, mutilated this dude. So it's like, that show does not care about what they have to do or what they have to, you know, accomplish in the show. So that show, I don't think there is anything that's nothing's off the table, I think, as far as those creators are concerned.
One quick question. Who do you guys want to see on the Iron Throne at the end?
At the Iron Throne, I'm rooting for Arya Stark is kind of like my
go-to. Oh my god, she'd be amazing.
But I think I'm worried that, you know,
she's a little killer though.
Right, but I think it's just like, she's a character I can stand behind. Mm-hmm. And I think she's in a cruel world, so she's returning cruelty to people that deserve it. But I do think she's a character that, you know, she's so sweet and innocent. You've kind of watched this kid grow up. She's going to have the most horrible demise in the show, I'm convinced. So it's just like, I'm waiting for it.
That's what every time I mention Arya, you're like, ooh. yeah. don't get too attached. Because yeah. I make the mistake over and over
constantly.
And over. I keep doing it.
And that's what I'm worried about.
I don't stop. I think Arya Stark would be amazing on the Iron Throne. I also think Jon Snow would be amazing on the Iron Throne because I think he is a good leader. And he's got good hair.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems to be popular with the ladies.
He has good hair. He's like a Jonas brother.
He's got beautiful hair.
Yeah.
And if anybody needs something to watch after listening to this, I highly recommend watching the Seth Meyers where he brings Jon Snow to a dinner party.
I didn't watch it, but I saw it.
It's amazing.
All right, I'll have to check that out.
It's absolutely amazing.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week. This is going to be cheating because we are going to cover it completely next week, but I am so deep into Netflix's Daredevil right now.
Yeah, the early reviews for between the people on Facebook and people coming to the store is that it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm on episode 6. And
how many are there?
13.
13 of them?
And it is, I'm not going to say it's the best show ever.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the best superhero show I've ever seen. I mean, it blows everything else away. Flash, Arrow, Gotham,
wow.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's so far beyond, much less far beyond the Ben Affleck movie. It's,
yeah.
It's way different than I thought. It's way harder edged than I thought. And I think the biggest compliment I can give it is that I'm not a huge Daredevil fan. Like, I have all the Frank Miller stuff. I'm reading Mark Waid stuff, more from Mark Waid than Daredevil. I've always considered him kind of a B character, you know? He was never a guy who was, like, really in the Avengers. Like, as a kid, he wasn't included in Secret Wars, therefore I didn't think I needed to pay attention to him.
Right.
And he can, when he's not done well, he can be half Batman, half Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's a hard character to get right, but when they get him right, they like, nail him.
And it's like, yeah, he's blind, but that's just a bit of a hook. It can't be the whole story.
Yeah.
This show is nailing it so hard.
That's awesome.
That... I don't even want to binge watch it.
Yeah.
Because you want to savor every episode?
Yeah, so I've been taking like...
You know it's a good show then. If you don't want to binge watch it. Savoring it,
yeah.
I've been taking little breaks. I'll watch one at night, then I'll watch one in the morning, then I'll go off and do something else. Like, even this morning, I watched probably 3 today, and like in the middle of like this... Yeah, right after the second one, I was like, oh, Comedy Bang Bang was on last night. I'm going to watch that. And then I'll go eat and take a shower. And then I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Because there are certain things where, like, I'm starting to notice the rhythm of it. And I don't want to stop paying attention.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be just getting to that last episode. But we will spend an hour covering it.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot to talk about.
I'll try to watch it all by next week.
Yeah.
You can do it.
I'll fit it in somewhere. I believe in you.
It's almost store appropriate. I would pick non-family times at the store.
Yeah.
Mm. And... it'll be fine. It's violent. Language, they go as far as saying shit, which, you know, you hear on like Always Sunny or Louie.
Yeah.
Like, it's that level. It's not as graphic. It's certainly not as graphic as Walking Dead.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a try at the store.
There's blood
tonight.
And broken bones and like a lot of fist fights, but it's...
That's real life though, kids.
Yeah, it's definitely... It's
welcome to the real world. Right?
It's definitely much more adult than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right.
So, which is also a cool thing, is that Marvel is not saying... This is the way we do TV shows.
Yeah, it doesn't just fit into their formula.
We are Disney now.
Yeah, yes. And this is not Disney at all.
Disney money.
But in the same way you saw Guardians of the Galaxy and it didn't feel like Iron Man, but it fit, Daredevil not only fits with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and we're assuming whatever's coming next, Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
Sure.
But it also fits in Avengers and Iron Man and Guardians of the Galaxy. It feels like the same universe.
That's awesome. And yeah, I guess that's the real trick of it, is trying to make sure that these all... do feel like, hey, look, Iron Man could show up or see him fly through the air, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a great moment, and I'll save it for next week. There's a great moment where they reference what's happened in the movies and how it's affected the lower street level.
Oh, that's awesome.
Daredevil's working on. So that'll be next week. But the biggest compliment I can give it is this morning I was watching the 3rd or 4th episode, and all of a sudden I found myself on eBay looking at runs that I never read. I was like, oh, I've never read Bendis's Daredevil. I've never read Brubaker's Daredevil. Let me see how much a lot of those comics would cost. Let me see what the omnibus goes for.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm reading Daredevil 4 Wade, but I never really considered reading those runs.
Yeah.
And now I really want to. So it's like, it's reawakened how much I like that character.
That's awesome. I don't really have a great thing in the world this week because I've been super busy with work.
You said you did.
No, I do, but I mean, it's not like a recommendation. You can't go out and like fucking buy the DVD I'm talking about. But somebody, I read this thing on the internet. So dinosaurs used to be around millions of years ago, and then they all died. and then they turned into like oil over millions of years. And then like we as humans showed up and we dig the oil out of the ground and we turn oil and all kinds of things, fuel and all these things, including plastic. And then we take that plastic and we make little plastic dinosaurs out of the dead, decomposed bodies of dinosaurs. And I think that's like a... like, really kind of blew my mind. I had a hard time with that one.
When you die,
yes.
I want to melt you down to ashes.
Yes.
And then
mix
you in plaster and make a Steven action figure made out of your remains.
Yes, so then I, too, could be like the dinosaurs.
And I will put him on the show.
Oh, good. There you go.
Yeah. You know what? I
just give him little headphones.
Yeah,
as
a
like
little
an
tiny headphones.
As an accessory.
I will program a sound chip from all the other episodes that you said.
Yes.
Just create a library of things
you
say.
Could put
there
on
you
a
go.
Shelf. You could
yes.
put them on one of these shelves. You
when
could,
I'm not on the show, I want to be on this shelf.
Just pick what spot you would want to be. You could be on with the Batmans.
I kind of want to move around. I want to be a little, you know, put
really?
Me with Indiana Jones 1 week, then set me with Iron Man, you know?
You're going to live an exciting afterlife.
Probably more exciting than my actual life.
This is a lot of work for me, and I don't know how old I'll be.
I don't, you committed to a lot of work,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, you did. That was nice of you.
Now I want
a nice guy.
Now I want to die first.
Well, you know, then 10 years they're going to be 3D printing human hearts, so we all might live a lot longer than we were anticipating.
Ooh. I want the one that glows like Tony Stark's.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Or like ET,
the little arc
that'll be glowing under
like
your
LED,
skin,
like a
yeah.
little light.
Yeah,
that'd be so kawaii.
The future
guys.
Is now.
Mm-hmm. Be the cutest, greatest thing in the world, right? That's what greatest
yes.
thing in the world
yes.
to me. Happened earlier today, and if you wear earrings or jewelry of any type. Me and my friend Gwen, who's in from out of town, we went over to this place that's also in Division called Beadniks. They have tons of like crazy beads, okay? You can get beads of Albert Einstein. That's a bead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Gnomes, squirrels, llama, pretty much if you can think of it, sushi.
Yeah, they have
pretzels,
it.
Pretzels, they have it there.
Wow.
So we picked out beads today and basically just handed them to the owners of the store and said, will you make earrings for us? And so I have what I'm wearing right now.
Wow.
I just got. I have a pair of earrings that is one of them is a space shuttle bead and the other is an astronaut.
That's awesome.
Clay
oh, that's awesome.
Bead that I found, and they're actually like kind of big too.
Yeah.
They weren't expensive. And they just I was like I want these and I want to wear them out of the store.
And they can
and they
make
made,
them as earrings
made them
in the store.
In less than 5 minutes.
Wow. That's
and
incredible.
It was sick. So
yeah.
If anybody wants custom stuff that's inexpensive, that's just weird. I mean, because they obviously have like beautiful glass, lovely beads as well. But
sure,
if you're looking
sure.
for something like quirky
unique.
And weird.
Yeah, they've got it.
Such as an astronaut and a space shuttle dangling from your earlobes. I would recommend going there.
That's
it's
awesome.
Legit.
That's awesome. Well, this was fun. Brittany, thanks for coming in.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
this
we
was
wanted
legit.
To have you come over. You were going to have to come back at some point.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And we are going to see you at the Geek Bar. Tell us about the Geek Bar, because it's not something we've talked about enough yet.
Yeah, we always got to talk about the Geek Bar. Okay, so remember before when we were talking about how I'm at the bar all the time because it's my job.
Yes.
Not because I'm an alcoholic. It's because I work as the trader of the nerd seed. That is my job title over at Geek Bar. Right now we're at Geek Bar Beta, which is located in Wicker Park at Six Corners. It's at 1941 West North Avenue. I highly recommend all the geeks and the nerds and to all the worlds to collide in Geek Bar. We have some really cool stuff that you would never imagine being, you know, at a bar or restaurant. We have a comic book library with tons of graphic novels. We have video games. We have both retro and then newer consoles with tons of video games. We play movies and TV shows all the time. So we do viewings with stuff. So because we're talking about Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones is starting, we have our Game of Thrones cocktail menu that just came out because we theme everything.
Yeah.
Our most insane drink, which is done by Laura Green, who is the queen of drinky things, and she comes up with and invents our bar menu, is a drink called Murdered by a Pig, that which obviously is what starts the entire power vacuum in Westeros,
right.
which is the death of Robert Baratheon by a pig. We take our glass and we rinse it in pasteurized pig's blood, like actual pig's blood.
Wow.
And then we make the drink in the pig's blood rinsed glass.
That's
so
insane.
We do not mess around at Geek Bar.
Yeah. You guys are legitimate.
We are legit in our nerdiness and we go pretty hardcore, but it's just a really fun place. So if you haven't been into Geek Bar yet, please come and see us. We're also going to be at C2E2. We're at booth 350. We're going to be across from Marvel. And we're going to be throwing the official, unofficial C2E2 after party with Revolution Brewing. Red Bull is going to be there. It's located at Threadless HQ, and tickets are $10 each. We're going to have cosplayers. There's going to be video gaming. There's a DJ group called Pizza Pals. They're going to be there. That's They're called awesome. Pizza Pals. That's all that matters.
Right.
They're going to be there. So it's going to be sick. So if you want to come, please see us at C2E2, and please come see us at the bar.
Yeah, that's great. We're planning an outing to Geek Bar soon.
Yeah.
Please come over.
Yeah,
it should be awesome.
We need to come over. And how can we follow you online?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Let's see. You can follow me on Twitter if you want. I mean, I'd always love more Twitter followers. Brittany Yontos or Brittany on Toast.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you like
that's
that?
That's cover. Yeah.
On Twitter. Yeah, Brittany on Toast. That's probably the easiest way. Rather than like calling me at home, I would say.
Yeah, well, don't give that number. No. Yeah.
Who wants my phone number?
Somebody will.
Somebody will call me.
This is why, like, when they're like, oh, call me, and, you know, they do in the movies, you know, somebody be like, oh, call me, my number is 555-555-555. It's like, because people are calling and be like, hello, is Indiana Jones here? It's like, fucking, he's a fictional character.
My favorite story.
Yeah.
555 Brit.
Remember that song by Tommy Tutone, 8675309, Jenny?
Yeah.
Somebody actually had that number, and they went insane.
Oh, yeah, because how many idiots are going to call me? Like, oh, talk to her. It's like, you know, it's not real.
Yeah, so
but now there's Twitter.
Yeah, so
follow Brittany on Twitter.
So you're Brittany on Toast.
Yeah, on Twitter. There you go.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
You can follow me at Not In My Book. That is the only Caffeinated Comics Twitter feed. You can like us on Facebook, getting some new likes on Facebook. That's where we post all the news. So as soon as I find out about it from somewhere, that's where it goes.
Yes.
And then Steven
and
finds
then I
out,
find
about,
out about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, after I post it.
Yes.
So we're there. You know what? Like us on the iTunes page. Listen to us on Stitcher if you don't like iTunes. We're always around. And Steven?
I'm only available in the real world. You can find me at 19 South LaGrange Road at Chimera's Comics.
Yeah.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!